Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
I'm rejoicing in Jesus, brother.
Amen, amen. And as always, as well with us, is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today?
I'm doing blessed now that our power's back on.
Amen. Yes, guys, we actually didn't think we were going to be able to get your guys' shows up as quickly as we would like. But as Tony and I were sitting here having a discussion, the power finally came back on after it had been out for a number of hours. And guys, pray for our city. We deal with, in October, a lot of winds and a lot of fires and things like that. And I do hope when it comes to these things where people's houses and neighboring towns, I know someone on my son's football team, the back porch burnt down. And I always pray these situations seem so dire and really scary. But the thing is, we want these things, no matter what it is, to point people to Jesus and to recognize that these things are fleeting. They are going to go away. And ultimately, their soul is not. Death and Hades are thrown into that lake of fire. So we want to make sure that these people know exactly where they're going. And speaking of the lake of fire, we're going to be talking about Halloween. It is the week of Halloween, and we want to do an episode on this. And we were already planning on it, and then we received a number of questions. I saw people were tagging us on Twitter because they were sharing some of our articles, some of the stuff Joe's wrote. We actually have a track for Halloween that you guys can get that Tony, I know, will put up the link on this podcast show. But I wanted to have Joe answer a question that came in concerning Halloween. Now, this is a sister in Christ. She loves the Lord. She always is writing to us, really encouraging. But she has some questions. She doesn't know where the line should be drawn when it comes to this. And this is something I'm just going to let you know before we get into it. Personally, where Holly and I, my wife and I, have had to discuss these things with my children and say, hey, we don't practice those things. And as they grow up, they have more friends, and they have friends that are non-believers, not friends that are non-believers, but their parents that are non-believers, and these guys are little kids on their sports teams, whatever it may be. And what happens is those kids end up celebrating Halloween. And my son is very quick to tell them how satanic it is. In fact, I tried to go out and get some coffee, and my son was in line with me, and a woman had a scarecrow, and she was not even talking to him. She was just walking by. He stopped her to tell, do you realize how satanic that is? Okay.
Out of the mouth of babes, bro.
So that's all of my kids are quite outgoing that way. And one of the things we did have to explain to them, I say, hey, because my other son, my younger son, Justice, was like, well, if they celebrate Halloween, they hate Jesus. That's why they celebrate it. And one of the things we have to do is make sure that these people, some of them are just straight ignorant, all right, about the subject. And we hope that tell them to read our articles on it on goodfight.org. Tell them to grab our pamphlets, and you don't have to be so ignorant about it. And some of them have a very big blind spot. And we're going to talk about how big that blind spot has to be.
And some of them hate Jesus.
And some of them do hate Jesus. That's a fact.
Sadly.
And you guys are going to hear plenty of quotes from that. So I wanted to caveat that as well. And before we get into it, and then I'm going to read the question that we received. Here it is. It says, And I'll ask it to Joe. Hi, quick question. Would it be wrong to allow my children to participate in trick or treating? I already let my son dress up for the school's Harvest Festival, which is has no Halloween references. So I'm just curious what the difference would be. I'm pretty sure you guys and many churches do a Harvest Festival type event. What would be the difference if I let my son trick or treat? To be clear, we won't celebrate Halloween, decorate the house, or celebrate darkness, but I do let my toddlers go to the pumpkin patch. Just wondering what the difference is. I don't want to sin against the Lord, but some of it, such as allowing your kids to go to the pumpkin patch, seems harmless. What is your guy's stance on pumpkin patches and trick or treating? So, Joe, what do you think?
Well, first of all, praise the Lord for the sister desiring to live holy before the Lord.
You Amen. Know,
that's
Amen.
Rare in these days, and as the scriptures warn. And that's just blesses my heart to see that she wants to bring her children up right in the Lord. We don't claim that, to have, you know, we're not perfect, not even close, but we desire to please the Lord and please him according to his word. And we may draw lines in different areas as far as our convictions go, but we all have to have a good conscience before the Lord. And one of the things that's really clear in Scripture is that God hates idolatry. He hates it when there's an admixture, a synthesis, and syncretism, pluralism, all of these words that are so popular today, using postmodernism and even the church, was the synthesis of paganism with whether it was the old covenant revelation through Moses and the law, and their constant turning to idols, or whether it was in the New Testament times, and the doctrines of demons were a threat to the church. And Paul said that some would depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And Paul says, you know, what fellowship does light have with darkness? What fellowship does Christ have with Belial and the temple of God with the temple of demons? And he goes on, and he says, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I'll receive you, you know. And right after that, I think it's chapter 7, verse 1, immediately after he gets into that, Paul talks about, in the fear, based on the fear of God, you know, to cleanse yourself of all sins of flesh and spirit. And that's important, because we're called to holiness. We're called to be separate. So I praise the Lord that the sister desires that. And we know that God ran the people out, the pagan ites. There were the Jebusites and the Perizzites and, you know, on and on. Termites. I mean, everything but termites that were run out of the, the Perizzites. But they were all run out of the land of Canaan, which was a promised land, because of practicing these pagan practices that are associated with Halloween, which is quite interesting. In fact, Deuteronomy 18:9 says, when you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, to the Hebrews, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations. So first and foremost, we're called to be separate from these things. And we'll get into, as we have this conversation and bow down to the authority of Scripture, you know, some of the origins, or I should say, how the pagans look at Halloween. And they understand the darkness associated with Halloween far more than many Christians do, unfortunately. But as far as, you know, having a harvest festival, and, well, hey, people have harvest festivals and they dress up, and some even do trick-or-treat out of the trunk or whatever else. We have harvest festivals, but we don't dress up like demons. We don't dress up at all, because for us, it's too close to what the world's doing at the same time. And it's almost like you're just trying to baptize, you know, Halloween. So we don't have, you know, going from, you know, house to house, or going from car to car, candy and so forth. And we don't implement a lot of those things that are happening as kids are going house to house, and they're dressing up like demons and ghosts and skeletons and zombies and witches and warlocks and, you know, cartoon characters and superheroes and everything else. Because we want to be separate, but at the same time, we do celebrate the harvest. We celebrate the fact that, you know, fall has come and that the Lord is the Lord of every day, and we give glory to him. So we just get together. Sometimes we have praise and worship music, you know. Sometimes we have somebody share. We have bouncers for the kids. Kids play. We have festivities. We have yummy things to eat. So personally, as a pastor of a fellowship, I wanted to make sure God's spirit was not grieved one iota by any kind of admixture. At the same time, the Bible says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. God gives us godly, healthy alternatives. So it's wise, instead of having 50 people knock at your door, unless you want to witness. I've done that before, where I've been at home and passed out tracts, you know, to people that have come by. That doesn't always go over so well. You may get the trick, since you didn't give a treat, and there's something interesting behind that. But I just encourage you to be separate, you know. There's no, I mean, does it really hurt us that much not to dress up? And I think it makes a great opportunity to make a statement to our children, you know, that we're different, that we're separate. The Bible says not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Jesus said we're to be in the world as salt and light, but he says, I've called you out of the world. So we're not supposed to imitate the wicked practices of the world. I think that's so clear in Scripture. And I think it's very clear in Scripture that, as well, that don't be drunk with wine, but fill the Holy Spirit, that God wants us to do things of the kingdom. So it'd be a great time to either witness. Some of our folks are witnessing, sharing the gospel. Others are fellowshipping and having a night where the brothers and sisters and young people can get together and just celebrate Jesus and be excited about him.
Yeah, I think it's really, really important. And something you harkened on a little bit there was I don't think our kids, because that's what you're pretty much told, that your kids are going to miss out on so much, as if you, they have to have a ton of candy and got to dress up on this one day and act like everyone else. And it's something that I always wondered why that was something always pushed. And one thing that is really interesting when we talk about this is that people will come to me, and trust me, it's happened, okay, and tell me how judgmental I am for not celebrating Halloween and how terrible I am, and look at me as this bad guy. I can't believe you'd do that to your children, that you would keep this from them. And to me, I'm like, it is so funny with the shoe on the other foot, you know, watching and seeing. And guys, just so you know, I grew up, we had one of the biggest haunted houses at my house. The newspaper would cover it every year, okay, before I came to know the Lord. Yeah, before I came to know the Lord and realized, well, that's all demonic. I don't want to get involved with that. I know Joe's going to get more into the history of it, but I wanted to talk a little bit of the practicality of someone who, you've had kids and you guys know how it is. And for me, I have kids right now, 6, 4, 2, and 2 weeks. And I'm just telling you guys, my kids don't miss out on much, okay? They're more than blessed, and if they think they have to act like the world and they miss out if they don't, I think that's absolutely ridiculous, you know?
No, absolutely. As far as pumpkin patches going, you know what? Because I didn't answer that part of the question. You know what? God made pumpkins. And if you go to a pumpkin patch, you grab some pumpkins, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with a pumpkin patch. We're not going to let the devil have what God made. You know, Satan tries to use the rainbow, right? And tries to use it as to justify, you know, and make a whole rally and parade around.
And pumpkin seeds are good.
Yeah, amen, bro. We love those pumpkin seeds. My wife just loves pumpkin pie. And, you know, some homemade pumpkin pie. It's quite amazing. And kids can have fun in the pumpkin patch. And realize, hey, guess what? We can be thankful for God's creation. We don't have to make demons out of these pumpkins, you know?
Yeah.
So let's make sure we recognize that God created everything. And something doesn't become evil because the devil uses it. If you use the devil's version of it, then you're transgressing that line that the Lord's called us to stay from.
Avoid every appearance of evil, right?
Yeah.
Scriptures say.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's a little different than, you know, when you go to Rome and you visit and you see all these false gods, you see a cross on the top of their head and you're like, oh, we'll just make Apollo, so we'll make this one, right. we'll make it all right. We'll just dress up as a cat instead of a demon, you know?
Yeah, we tend to baptize, you know, pagan practices, you know, the Roman Catholic Church, you know, they pray to the dead on that day, you know, and, it's, you know, they kind of made an admixture of Halloween and try to mix it with Christianity, but you end up praying to dead people, and that's part of their rituals, which is unscriptural. But yeah, when we look at the Druidic paganism, it's basically, you know, rooted in, you know, I'm part Irish, I'm part, you know, German, English, Swedish, all kinds of things, and my ancestors on every side, man, were pagans, whether it was Viking paganism, you know, Germanic, or whether it was Celtic. And it's interesting, when I'm ministering to those who are steeped in like Hinduism or so forth, I let them know. I go, hey, my heritage is pagan. All of us came out of some form of paganism, you know, and Jesus rescues us from the darkness of the world, you know, and it's just important that we emphasize that to those who don't know, that aren't aware. You know, I just grabbed something to eat before I came here. Got like a Thai salad, you know, and then the lady goes, hey, are you gonna go celebrate Halloween? Well, how are you gonna celebrate Halloween? Owner of the restaurant. I said, actually, you know, and I knew I had to get over here and everything else and get my day going, but I stopped. I said, just briefly, I've got a, you know, ongoing witness with them. So just, started going to that place a little bit while ago, once in a while. Especially I'm on my diet, you know, trying to drop some weight here. Anyways, I said to her, I go, well, actually, no, we don't celebrate that as Christians. I said that, you know, my understanding of Christianity, we stay separate from that. And she goes, oh, well, it's all just for fun, you know? And it's funny because she's, you know, Thai, you know? And I learned, I go, yeah, I know a lot of people look at it that way, you know? So it's opened up a dialogue to where I can share Jesus more. And I didn't want my first witness to her then. And we've been a light there. She just is open. She, you know, her heart's been really open. But to be all about blasting Halloween, I want to make sure I talk more about Jesus, you know?
Yeah.
Amen. But I'll get in, if she's a Christian and challenged me on it, I would have let her know some of the, you know, what the scriptures say. And I think it's important too that we recognize its origins. People just think it just came out of a, you know, out of vacuum, like it just showed up. And it has Druidic origins. in the Celtic religions. And it's interesting to me that you just look at the history. You can read a lot of history. It's not being covered up. I mean, it is being covered up when you read Christian ideas of the history, because they'll try to, all of a sudden Christians who are so often Protestants, all of a sudden they're open to the Catholic Church and they're dealing with Halloween all of a sudden and make it some kind of like good thing or something acceptable. Keep in mind, you can't compromise with evil. Evil by its very nature is insidious, and it thrives on spreading and conquering. So you don't want to open your heart up to evil. Ronald Hutton, in the Stations of the Sun, A History of Ritual Year in Britain, he under Samhain, which is, you could pronounce it Samhain as most people do, but Samhain referred to Celtic Halloween customs all the way up until the 19th century. And this is, it's kind of interesting because he states there, very clearly that it's, that it referred to the Celtic Halloween customs all the way into the 19th century. So they were occult customs up until just recent history, guys. So it's almost like watching an occultic religion, and then all of a sudden you start embracing it because you're dim in your history. If there was an occult religion that was thriving in a certain part of the world up until now, and then all of a sudden we just imbibed its customs and dressed like demons and everything according to their customs, everybody said, "What are you doing?" But just because a little bit more time has elapsed, I think what we tend to do is we're nicer on history and we tend to think that it's not as serious. But here, listen to what the Encyclopedia Britannica states on Halloween. In ancient Britain and Ireland, the Celtic festival of Samhain was observed on October 31st at the end of the summer. Sound familiar? The souls of the dead were supposed to revisit their homes on this day, and the autumnal festival acquired sinister significance with ghosts, witches, goblins, black cats, fairies, and demons of all kinds said to be roaming about. It was at this time that they placated the supernatural powers, controlling the processes of nature. In addition, Halloween was thought to be the most favorable time for divinations concerning marriage, luck, health, and death. It was the only day on which the help of the devil was invoked for such purposes. Now think about this, folks. This is not like, some Christian, dictionary or encyclopedia, even though there's a lot of accuracy in those encyclopedias as well. This is Encyclopedia Britannica saying that it was the only day that in which the help of the devil was invoked for such purposes. This is what Halloween was about, contacting the demonic forces and dealing with them and feeling that you'd be harassed by either dead relatives or demonic entities, and therefore you were trying to pacify them with treats so you wouldn't get a trick. And in our modern day, it's celebrated, by a lot of those who are into the occult and witchcraft in a very similar way to pacify demons, to work with the demonic entities that they're involved in. Should we as Christians practice a version of Halloween? No. And I'll get into a little more history, but I want to open this up. What do you guys think? I mean, just based on just even this Encyclopedia Britannica entry, it has an occult basis.
Yeah, I think it's very similar to the argumentation to yoga, and the yoking with these demons, and we go, "Oh, well, I'm just stretching." Well, then you would just be stretching, okay? You're really celebrating this. I mean, you can't get around the occult origins here. You can't get around the pagan origins here. I know Tony's right. A big fan of Halloween, but no, right. I'm just kidding.
Well, I think it's interesting because you have like the Doreen Valiente. You're probably going to get into this, Joe. But I mean, when you have occult people actually saying what Halloween means to them.
Yeah, by the way, she helped formulate modern day Wicca.
Exactly.
With Gerald Gardner, who's a protege of Aleister Crowley.
And you have Anton LaVey, who the Satanic Bible, saying it's one of a couple of his major holidays.
Yes, he includes the Halloween. Holiday in the Satanic Bible.
So these are Satanists themselves saying, "Hey, Halloween means a lot to us, and this is why." So when you have that coming out, it's not just, "Oh, it's the Christian conspiracy," whatever people like to put us in a box that way. It's the occultists that are saying this.
It's
themselves.
A high holiday for them,
Right.
For some of them, it's their favorite holiday, many of them.
And that's growing, by the way, in America.
Oh,
sadly, it's becoming one of the favorites.
It's eclipsing Christmas in the celebration of our Lord's incarnation.
Yeah, and you think about it too. I mean, it goes right in line for me. You know, I got saved after, you know, when I was right before I was 21, but I went to Halloween parties at UCSB, you know, and San Diego State, and it's nuts for a week. I mean, you're talking all week. It's crazy, and everyone dressed up, and in all honesty, the girls are just about as close to naked as they can get, and that's really what it's become, you know, and it's heartbreaking, but you expect it. Pagans are going to do pagan things, and that's what it's going to look like.
Now, yeah, Joe, it's just that Christians should do pagan things.
I was going to ask you a question, Joe, because this came up to me. It was asked, well, what if, you know, the parents, they just dress up their little four-year-old as a bumblebee and an angel, and it's all innocent, and they're not really doing the dark parts of it, and they're maybe going to just a family gathering that's really innocent, and they exchange candy and whatnot. What would be your response to something like that?
Well, what would be, Chad, you know my wife, Lisa, what if I brought one of my children are older, Holly's one of them that Chad married, but what if I brought, let's say, I dressed Ariella up, and I dressed her up as a bumblebee and then brought her to a black mass. And then I came from the black mass where we were, you know, there's about devils and demons are, it's all centered around that ultimately. And then I say, oh, I just dressed her up like a bumblebee. I mean, yeah, anybody who knows me knows that obviously I wouldn't even think of doing that, but it'd be so ridiculous because we have to remember this is a satanic holiday. In its origins, and it continues to be practiced as a satanic holiday to this day. Can we dress our kids up and say, hey, we're participating, but we're doing a gentler form of it? No, because it grieves the Lord's heart. When you can't, I mean, people that are going through scripture, read the word of God. God's heart grieves when you get involved in idolatry. And he says, come out from among them and be separate. Scriptures say, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that's of the world is lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And the world's passed away and the lust thereof. But he who does the will of God abides forever. And James, that's in 1 John 2:15 through 17. And James in chapter 4, verse 14, or verse 4, he says, you adulteresses, know you not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever makes himself a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So there's this allurement to be accepted. But I was just counseling a young man last night. I had counseled before Bible study, did Bible study, counseling afterwards with a young man and his mother. And I knew the problem. I could tell, you know. We had a great talk. He's just a sweet kid. His mother was real concerned because he had a soft heart toward the Lord, you know. And the last couple years, his heart's gotten hardened. And he's been in more of a situation to where I just know he's going to public school. And I knew there was a lot of peer pressure on him. I could just tell. Mm-hmm. I said, hey, are you struggling with peer pressure? And he said he was. And he goes, yeah, that's a big part of what I'm going through, you know. And my heart just broke for him, you know. You know, we prayed and just, I still pray, Lord, please deliver him. And we had a good talk, but I told him, you know, about how powerful peer pressure is. You know, the Bible says one sinner can bring much harm. Mm-hmm. I said, I asked him, what's harder to do, build a building or, you know, destroy it? He said, yeah, to destroy it. I go, yeah, you and your friends or whatever could spend, you know, hours building a sandcastle. And one bully can come by the beach and just kick it down, you know, in a matter of seconds. Yeah. And I said, the Bible says one sinner does much harm, but your mom's been trying to build you into a man of God. And her heart, you know, you could see, just loves him, you know. And he had a sweet heart for the Lord, you know. Yeah. And he's still got a sweet spot in him. But I told him, you know, scriptures say, let no one be hardened, you know, by the deceitfulness of sin. And I encouraged him, bad company corrupts good morals. Gave him a lot of scriptures, just, you know, rattled off a bunch of truth from the Word of God. And encouraged him to be courageous. And I didn't know this. And he perked up and he goes, you said courageous. I go, yeah. He goes, well, my favorite verse for a long time is Joshua 1:9 about being strong and courageous. And I said, well, praise the Lord. You know, I'm not usually telling people when I'm encouraging them. I don't usually use that word. I use it once in a while. But he said, well, that's what I need. I know. He said, you need to be courageous, you know. But guess what? Parents, you can't leave it up to your children to be courageous. We have to be courageous too. And we can't say, well, what will the neighbors think, you know, if I don't, like, you know, put some witch out in my front yard? Yeah. Or, what will the neighbors think if I don't, you know, answer the door or I go somewhere else, you know? Let's be more concerned about what God thinks, you know, than what our neighbors think, you know? And as I said before, we please the Lord in keeping our children from evil. In fact, we have to be consistent, though, but it makes a radical statement. You know, like I said, you know, Chad, you're married to Holly, and I've got a couple other children as well. And they have strong convictions, you know, And I was hoping they'd marry people with strong convictions. You know, Chad, we were praying for you before, you know, you were even born, before Holly was born, you know, and praying for Heather's husband, who, you know, Adam as well. And we're praying for Josiah's wife, you know, as well. And because you want harmony in the home as well as much as you can get. But it's important that the parents set the example first and foremost, that they're consistent, that we're not hypocritical, that we speak the truth in love, that we show love to our children. We explain to them why we're doing certain things. And don't just say, I mean, you know, I know a lot of people parent by just saying, hey, just I say it and they have to obey it. And they don't give much explanation. But when you go through Proverbs, I love what Solomon does. He gives explanations as to why you're not to go after, you know, the loose woman, why you're not to drink and the effects it will have on you if you're getting drunk, you know, why you're not to gossip and so forth. And he shows the ramifications. And I think it's important as parents, we let our children know the bigger picture. So my children knew more about Halloween than 99% of the kids that were celebrating it and understood, you know, a distinction between light and darkness. And they were able to and happy to rejoice in Jesus and happy that their parents cared enough to separate them from the darkness. And I think it's important that we make these things known.
Yeah, I think that's really, really important, especially, you know, for anyone out there, you guys that have young children, you know, and I know we got a ton of following that write us in and say, hey, I have a 7-year-old or I have a this-year-old or I have a that-year-old. And guys, I'm going to tell you right now, as a parent and as somebody who grew up in a nominally Christian home, I'm going to tell you that if you aren't consistent with what you believe, if you aren't consistent with who you are in Christ and how you care God looks at you versus how the world looks at you, your kids are going to see that. They're going to see an inconsistency. Like he said, consistency. A consistency means that you are consistent with what Scripture says. And guys, it doesn't mean you're perfect. Joe and I aren't perfect. Tony sometimes is. No, I'm just kidding. But right. Guys, you're not going to be perfect. But when you do stumble, you also should be quick to say, hey, I'm sorry, I messed up in this way. And I think that's really important as well.
Yeah, a couple of scriptures to leave you guys on. For Ephesians 5:11, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, which Tony had mentioned, abstain from all appearance of evil. 3 John 11:1-11, beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The scriptures say, thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the nations. And I encourage you to look up Deuteronomy 18:9-14, which after it mentions not practicing what the wicked nations practice, it gives us all kinds of occult examples that they were involved in. And the Lord says, or I'll judge you just like I judge them. So let's make sure we please our Lord. Let's not ask the question, how close can I get to the world and float my boat to the lake of fire before I get burned? Let's say rather, how close can I get to Jesus and how much better can I glorify him on this day?
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.